Welcome to Words to Encourage, the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church of Grove City, Ohio. Everyone needs encouragement. We all need to be uplifted. With today's encouragement, here's our pastor, Stan Slater.
With a smile, a bright sunny smile.
Welcome to Words to Encourage. This is the daily radio broadcast of the Bible Baptist Church. We're located in Grove City, Ohio, and I'm Brother Slaybaugh. Well, good Wednesday to you. Last Wednesday of the month, and it's November the 29th, and that's my father's birthday. He's celebrating in heaven. My dad went to be with the Lord in 2007. My dad, he was born in 29. So he was 77 when he passed away in 2007, add 16 years to that. He'd been about 93 had he lived, but he, Lord, took him home to glory, and I thank God for my dad today. It's also my sister's birthday. She's married to a pastor out in Oklahoma, Grove, Oklahoma. And happy birthday to my sister, Shelley, and I hope she has a great day today. How about that? Born on my dad's birthday, and they've celebrated together for many, many years, and I hope she has a great day today. Well, it's church tonight, and we're looking forward to a good service here at Bible Baptist Church. Always a great time in the middle of the week, and we're back on schedule for Wednesday night, 6:30 this evening, and we look forward to our midweek service together. I hope you'll be in your place, and you'll go expecting a blessing, and you'll be a blessing to your church and to your pastor. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit today about what do you do when you sin? Man, it'd be a wonderful thing if you get saved and never had to worry about sin anymore, but that's not the case. We have that old nature. We have the sin nature. We die daily. We do our best not to sin and yield to the Spirit of God and be controlled by Him, but we have that old man. Here's the problem. It's not that you won't sin anymore after you're saved, but I'll guarantee you this. You won't enjoy sin anymore after you're saved. You see, in this psalm, in Psalm 6, if you've got your Bible nearby, the sixth psalm, the psalmist here helps us understand what to do when we sin. How should we handle it? Well, let's look at Psalm 6. It's just 10 verses. And the Bible says here, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. Well, the first thing here that the psalmist tells us we ought to do is, number one, plead for mercy. Oh, we've sinned against God. We've sinned against a holy, perfect God. And so we ought to cry out for mercy. Why? Because when we sin, God does two things. He rebukes and he chastens. Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Proverbs 9:8, rebuke a wise man, he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Now, we're rebuked by the word, but we're chastened by the rod. So when we sin, the first thing we understand is we're rebuked by the word of God. That's why the psalmist writes here, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. He said, I don't want to be rebuked in anger. And by the way, God doesn't rebuke in anger, and he doesn't chasten in hot displeasure. There's times, as a parent, we may discipline out of anger. That's never right, but there's times we would probably admit we've done that. I think about Moses and even God after the golden calf incident there in Exodus 32. Remember, God was ready to chasten him in his hot displeasure. What was he going to do? Wipe him out? He said, get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to blot this people out. And Moses interceded till God spared the people. So then what does he do? Verse 2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Oh, we plead for mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. God knows we're weak. Sin makes us conscious of how weak we really are. The Bible says in Psalm 103 that he knows our frame and he remembers that we are dust. God knows we're weak, so we cry for mercy. God never answers our prayer based on merit, but on his mercy. It's because of his mercies we are not consumed. His mercy endureth forever. So we cry out for mercy. Number two, we realize how miserable we are. That's what he means by weak. And he says, I am weak, and Lord, my bones are vexed. My soul is vexed. My bones hurt. I'm miserable. You know what sin's companion is? Misery. Misery. Oh, they sinned when they went up to Ai. And really, they sinned in Jericho. And so when they went to Ai, what happened? Man, a defeat. No joy. No happiness. Death. Destruction. The prodigal son can do what he wants and go his own way. But where does he end up? In the pig pen with no joy and no happiness. He's miserable. Realize how miserable you are. Listen, sin always promises so many things and it never delivers. Number three, when you sin, remember the length of the chastening is determined by God, not us. In other words, the consequences of that sin is up to God, not us. He chastens us until he's through, not until we are through. Oh Lord, he cries out, how long? How long? And he thinks in verse 5 he's going to die because he says, in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks? He thinks his time is up. For 430 years, the Jews were in Egypt. For 70 years, they were in Babylon in captivity. For 3 years, Joseph waited in prison for the butler to remember him. But God, listen, God says, I rebuke, and as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, and I'm going to chasten you until he is satisfied. And that is determined by God, not by us. We cannot control the consequences or the outcome. What do we do when we sin? We plead for mercy. What do? We realize how miserable we are. Number three, we remind ourselves the length of the chastening of God is determined by him, not us. We remember, fourthly, God is touched by our tears. Verse 6 and 7, I'm weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Mine eye is consumed because of grief. Oh, he's not just our God. He's our Heavenly Father. And he's touched by the tears of his children. You remember when Hezekiah was sick and he said, prepare. Isaiah came and said, get your house in order, you're going to die. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed and he wept. And God said, Hezekiah, I've heard thy prayer and I've seen thy tears. When the woman with the alabaster box, Mary, came and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her tears, with her hair, with her tears, washed his feet with her tears. Remember, he saw her tears. That's why the Bible says one day in the book of Revelation, God's going to wipe away all our tears. In fact, at the grave of Lazarus, when they were all wailing and weeping for Lazarus, you know what Jesus did? John 10:35, 11:35, Jesus wept. He wept. And you know what they said? Behold how he loved him. Oh, my friend, God's touched by her tears. I always remember somebody told me years ago, he said, you know what tears are? When God squeezes your heart, the water comes out your eyes. And I never forgot that about tears. Number five, when God forgives, let no man condemn you. When God forgives, let no man condemn you. Verse 8, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. He's saying, listen, it's like the woman taken in adultery, and Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground, and then he said, all right, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And then they all left, and Jesus looked at the woman, and he said, hath no man condemned thee? And notice what she said. She said, no man, Lord. And then Jesus said, well, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let's be mindful that those who've been forgiven by God should certainly be forgiven by us. We ought to forgive if God is forgiven. If God justified, who am I to condemn? I'm not Years ago, I gave up trying to disqualify people from serving God. I'm trying to qualify people to serve God. I think everybody ought to serve God. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. Have you confessed it and forsaken it? Then God has forgiven you, and God will still use you. God forgives us. And when God forgives, he chooses not to remember. He says, your sins, your iniquities, will I remember no more. Well, if God isn't remembering them, why am I? Why would I want to bring them up? Number 6, avoid the wrong crowd. Depart from me, he writes, all ye workers of iniquity. Listen, if I don't want to sin, I can't hang around people who want to sin. I have to rid my life of those who desire to sin against God. The Bible talks about this in Proverbs, about not being in the wrong crowd or about being around those who don't want to please God. Why? Because we'll learn their ways. A wise man will walk with wise men. That's why church is important, and your church family is important. It's not just for the preaching and not just for the worshiping of God, but the friendships that are made there, the socializing. You cannot run wrong and live right. It's impossible. You cannot. Listen, you won't be what you want to be. You'll be like those you run with, those you spend time with. And so be careful. Avoid the wrong crowd. Get out of there. And then number 7, the Lord always forgives the sinner. The Lord has heard me. He has received my prayer. I don't know about you, but there's a sweetness in forgiveness. There's a sweetness in forgiveness. You see, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So where's the forgiveness? Yeah, God's only prayer away. A prayer away. Sin always makes you feel further away from God than you are. My friend, all it takes is a confession and admitting that I've sinned against you, God. When the prodigal came home, he thought he'd have that long journey to make, but he didn't have to go all the way. Why? The father came out to meet him. And my friend, if you wandered far away from God, why don't you come home today? The father's waiting to meet you. And he always forgives. He always forgives. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's what we do. When we sin, we plead for mercy. We realize how miserable we really are. We realize the length of the chastening is up to God, not me. I know that God is touched by my tears. And when God forgives, I'm not going to let other people condemn me. I will begin to avoid the wrong crowd. He did tell the woman, go and sin no more. And then I'm going to remember the Lord always forgives the sinner. Because he forgets. That's why he doesn't forget. He chooses not to remember. So we come and say, well, Lord, I did it again. And God says, did what again? Well, you know what I do all the time. No. You've done that before. I don't seem to recall that. He always forgives. What a great God. What a great psalm. Hallelujah for forgiveness. Let's focus on that on this Wednesday, all right? Have a great Wednesday, everybody. Look forward to seeing some of you in the church service tonight. And the rest of us will come back for the radio broadcast, Lord willing, tomorrow. And until tomorrow, this is Brother Slayball reminding you, be good to everyone because everyone's having a tough time.
Thank you for listening today. If this broadcast was an encouragement to you, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us by email at pastor@bbcgrovecity.org, or you can call us at area code 614-875-2190. We invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church at 2758 Home Road in Grove City, Ohio. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for the morning worship service. We meet back together at 5:30 for our evening service and on Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We also host the Bridge to Recovery Ministry, a faith-based recovery program bringing transformation to hurting people and our community. We meet every Thursday at 6:30 in the evening. You can find more information at our website about this and other ministries of Bible Baptist Church at bbcgrovecity.org. We hope that today these were truly words to encourage. Words to Encourage is paid for by the generous members and supporters of the Bible Baptist Church in Grove City, Ohio.
The joy of serving Jesus with a smile, a bright sunny smile.
smile.